Hello, you're listening to Speaking of History. We're coming to you live from the flight deck of the USS Midway. Today's date is July 7th, 2006. We're in San Diego, California for the NUT Conference, and this is an episode of the 2006 History Hits the Road Tour.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Flash, Washington. The White House announces Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
That the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
General Eisenhower informs me that the forces of Germany have surrendered to the United Nations.
I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
One day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today.
Men will still say, this was our finest hour.
Hello, as we said in the intro, we are on the flight deck of the USS Midway. We're in San Diego, California for the NUT Conference, and we're getting ready to fly out and go back to Kansas City. We did decide to stop off here at the Midway and take in the tour before we left. It's been a great tour. I've taken some audio, so I'm going to share some of that audio with you. It's also kind of a historic event here at the harbor. I'm on the USS Midway, which obviously is the United States aircraft carrier, but I'm also standing on the deck looking at three others. Ronald Reagan, the Stenson, and the Nimitz are also in dock, and so it's kind of a rare sight to be on one aircraft carrier and looking out and seeing three of them. So I'm going to include some of those pictures on the blog so you guys can see the three aircraft carriers from the flight deck of the USS Midway. Very interesting on the tour here, when you come in, you get a free audio tour that you can listen to as you do a tour of the various parts of the ship. And it's great because it actually has a number. So if you're standing next to one of the planes on the flight deck and it says that it's, you know, item number 43, you just type in 43 on your little pad, and then it gives you an audio tour of that particular item. So it's been very helpful. You can go at your own pace. If you want to go through everything, you can go through every item. Very, very interesting. We're trying to actually do some similar things with iPods for the History Museum in Liberty. So it's a very interesting device, and the techie in me actually took a picture of it as we started our tour, so I'll try and share that online as well. But it's a beautiful day here in San Diego. I did ask several of the docents, yellow hats, as they say, because they're wearing yellow caps here on the flight deck. But I'll include some of the audio from that, and then it also includes some of the pictures on the blog. So here's our audio tour of the USS Midway. All right, well, I'm currently in Hangar Bay 2, and here's some general information about what you might see if you come to the Midway.
All right, my name is Dave Copley, and I'm with the safety team on board the USS Midway. I'm part of a volunteer group that works here, and it's an honor for us to do so. When you come on the Midway, you'll be able to tour several decks of the Midway. It will include the forecastle. It will include the enlisted men's berthing, and it will also include the officers' berthing. You'll be able to tour the hangar bay itself, where there are several aircraft on display as well as simulators. Then you'll be able to go down to the mess deck and aft through officers' quarters and the laundry and the tailor shop and all those things necessary, including the barber shop. From then on, you'll be able to go topside to our flight deck, where we have some 18 aircraft that have been restored.
Wow.
And you will also be able to go up in the island and visit the bridge and primary flight control. These areas are all handled by people called docents. They know the history of the ship, and you can ask them questions, and they will be happy to tell you about it. And they also will tell you how to arrest an aircraft when it comes in to land, and how what a pilot goes through when he is launched from the flight deck of the carrier.
Wow. Now, I'm from the Midwest, and so I've been out here a couple days. I see aircraft carriers out here close by. Is that typical that there's that many aircraft carriers right in this area?
No, it's not typical. It happens today that we have the Ronald Reagan, who just came back from Westpac, which is a six-month tour, yesterday, and we also, which is based here. We also have the USS Nimitz, which is based here, but we have visiting today also the John C. Stennis, who is based up in Bremerton, Washington, and happens to be in port today for supplies or whatever they happen to need at the time.
Wow. So how long have you been a volunteer on the Midway?
2 years.
2 years? Mm-hmm. What do you like best about your job?
Meeting the people, talking to the people. I just by happenstance ran into two people earlier this week who are from my hometown in Iowa. And it was just by happenstance that I was talking about Iowa, and it turns out they live just a quarter mile from where my friends live, where I stay when I go back there.
Oh, wow.
But it's marvelous to talk to the people. I have talked to Medal of Honor holders. I have talked to World War II fighter pilots. I have talked to fighter pilots from the Burma Hump and from the P-40 Warhawk people. It's just amazing the people that you talk to, and they're all my heroes. So,
all right. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome, sir.
But anyway, let me teach you how this works. This is the takeoff position. The Midway only launched two at a time. The new ships have four launches. Two of them are on the angled flight deck over here. So you can launch four at one time. The pilot gets on the airplane over by the island, because we're landing airplanes at the same time. We can only land one at a time every 45 seconds. The other airplanes are over there getting their fuel and their bombs put on board. Now, the pilot, weight is always important in aviation, but especially on a carrier. The pilot knows how much the airplane weighs empty, because when it comes from the factory, it says on the dashboard how much this airplane weighs. Let's say it's 25,000 pounds. To that, they add fuel and bombs back there. He taxis over here. Somebody wrote on here how much it weighs. Pilots can add and subtract. When it comes to fractions, we get a little weaker. Okay. So I always knew how much the airplane weighed. This guy had shown me the weight. If I agreed, I gave him a thumbs up. They would signal the guys over there on the, you know, on the other side of the fence. That's where the launch happened. That's where the big button was. They would dial in how much airplane weighs, because that's how much oomph they're going to get to pull you off of here. Next, they're going to tell you to run up your engines. In the meantime, they put up a big jet blast deflector behind the airplane, right there. It's a wall. So when you go to 100% power, you don't want to blow sailors or airplanes in the water, because they're expensive. Taxpayers frown upon them. So don't blow anything in the water. Pilots at 100% power, here's how this all works down here. This is part of the airplane. It comes down, it cocks down. So they actually pull it down and put it into the shuttlecock here. That's part of the ship. This is going to stay on the ship. It's going to go all the way to the end, and it's going to stop on a dime. And then the airplane will just keep going, and this will just pop up, and away it goes. Back here, the yellow steel thing is called the holdback, and that's exactly what it does. It holds the airplane back. Inside the holdback, we have a steel shaft that's going to break right in the middle at the weak point. This is called the dog bone for obvious reasons. And so that's in there. So he's at 100% power. He's trying to be pulled. He's trying to be held back. When they hit the button to release the pressure in the catapult system, you're going to go no matter what happens. This will break, and you're getting airborne. If you forget to release your parking brake, like one of the famous pilots did one night, you're going anyway. But you're going to blow your tires. They're going to see it from the air boss's position. He's going to say, Jim, don't raise your landing gear, because I don't want the wheels to get tangled up here, and I don't know what I'm going to do with you. You know, I can't get you back here. So just come around, dump some gas, come back. Do not put your tail hook down. Don't catch the wire. We're going to put up a steel barrier, a net. You're actually going to fly into the net. You're going to damage the nose. You are going to go get to talk to the captain for the first time in your career, because you never get to go see him. He's going to ask you a very simple question. Will you ever do that again, sailor? And of course you're going to say, no, sir. Salute. Get out of there. Here's the Navy's philosophy. You might want to share that with kids or grandchildren. Navy's philosophy is first mistake. I'll ask you in a second. First mistake's on the taxpayers. Everybody's going to make a mistake. Second mistake. Do the same thing again. It's on you. It's on you. We're going to charge you. We're going to garnish your wages. The Navy can garnish your wages. It's a bad thing. They can take your pay away from you. Yes, sir. You had a question. Oh, yes, I'll do it again. Well, then you're going to be asked to go back home. Okay? And then you might have a special little house with bars, you know, and wear a matching outfit with stripes on it, you know. That's what will happen. So you never talk back to the captain. Okay? Well, I got a question for you then. All right, so this airplane gets airborne. He goes out on a two-hour mission. He gets some extra fuel because we can in-flight refuel these things. Okay? How does the pilot go to the bathroom?
In his pants?
No. Then you'll come back with, you know, marks all over.
Bag.
He's got a bag. He's got a plastic bag. It's called the piddle pack. When I was back in the 70s, we could go number one in the airplane. We really couldn't do number two. We didn't have any way to do that. So you had to come back to do number two. And when you got back, you were trying to get back anyway because this is home. We also have a movie every night. You want to come back and see the movie with your buddies, you know, popcorn and all.
So how fast does that get you? So you'd start
it depends on the weight.
By
yeah.
There, you'd be in the air.
Yeah, so each airplane weighs a little different. So they have calculated, some guy, engineer, has calculated how fast you have to be going at the end. It's typically about 150 miles an hour. So you go from 0 to 150 in 3 seconds. It's the best ride of your life. It's so much fun. The only trouble is once you're airborne, now you got to go fight a war. Then you got to come back and land on this thing at night when it's rainy and pitching. And oh boy, it's exciting. I used to volunteer to fly at night, though, because I needed extra flight time. I wanted to be an airline pilot. So I was dumb enough to volunteer to fly at night. So I had a lot of night time, you know. We used to go fly low over the water at night looking for submarines. Okay, welcome to primary flight control. This is where it's like a control tower at an airfield. They control anything having to do with aviation activity in this place. Any aircraft movement on the hangar deck, on the flight deck, or in between, or airborne within 5 miles of the ship is controlled by this place. The person in charge is the air boss sitting in the left-hand chair over here, assisted by the assistant air boss called the mini boss. So we got the boss and we got the mini boss. The mini boss will come on board for a 2-year tour and spend the first year as the mini boss, and then will move over and be the air boss for the second year. Good job to have, because the boss will probably leave here and go on to be captain of the ship. By the way, my name is Dave. I'm one of the volunteers you'll see on board. If you have any hard questions, any questions at all, you know, ask us. If you have a hard question, you can speak to my friend out here. He takes all the hard ones. I was a naval aviator. I got to fly off aircraft carriers like this. In fact, I got my very first fleet carrier landing on board the Midway. So Midway started out my career, and at the other end of my career, I was on an admiral staff, and we were embarked on Midway during the Iranian hostage crisis. So the Midway was the last ship I went to sea on. So it kind of began and ended my career. We do things out here called cyclic operations. That's the most efficient way for us to run a flight deck. So the cycle means we will launch, we recover, and then we reset and get ready for the next cycle. A launch, we do one or the other. You know, we don't do simultaneous launch and recovery. We'll do one or the other. So to start a cycle off, Midway would fly 8 of those a day. Each one's an hour and a half long. So to start a cycle, we'd have everything parked back here in the landing area because our catapults are up forward, so we need to keep them clear. Typically, we would launch about 20 aircraft on a cycle. So that means that we would launch those with 2 catapults. We could launch those 20 aircraft in about 12 minutes. We'll get them airborne. So 12 minutes, and they're out of here. Towards the end of that launch, we'll start moving. We'll have our tow tractors hooked up to the things back aft we did not intend to launch, and we start towing them forward. And as soon as that last aircraft is launched, we'll park everything on the bow, get ready for the recovery. We'll be ready to recover aircraft in 2.5 minutes. After that last airplane launch. So it's a pretty hefty pace. And then bang, here comes the first aircraft to land, and land right about where 102 is, grab that cable, go to full power, and come to a roaring halt right about where that wide rubber mat goes across the flight deck up there. Now these are aircraft that launched on the previous cycle. They've been airborne about an hour and 40 minutes now. So their mission's over, they're coming home to land.
and we'll keep the flow going to the bow. We'll park everything up on the bow as they land, and every 45 seconds we'll land another airplane. So we'll move them up to the bow, shut them down, and when we get the last one on board, what do? We hook up our tow tractors and tow every one of them back here and park them in the landing area to get ready for the next cycle. If we're lucky, we get about a 5 or 10 minute break, and then we do it all over again, start the next cycle. That's a 12-hour flying day, 8 cycles like that. Takes us about an hour and a half to get ready to do it, an hour to button it up. So people are working up here about 14 to 15 hours a day, long days. So if you went down to our berthing compartment and you're wondering how people can sleep down there when you've been up here working for 15 hours, you don't have any problem sleeping down there. Go crash.
Here's a short segment from the audio tour that you receive when you come on board the ship. So here's a snippet of what you'd hear through the headphones as you toured the USS Midway.
This city at sea fed its citizens well. Its 8 galleys and 2 bake shops put out 10 tons of food 23 hours a day, every day of the year. You're standing in the big meat and potatoes galley. Look across at the row of convection ovens and the large griddle. This is the doggy diner, where a sailor could get hamburgers and fries. Walk over to the large silver kettles. Charlie Kiefer was in charge of this galley in 1970 and 71. Here's his recipe for beef stew, which he made in these 80-gallon kettles.
Beef dice, we need 600 pounds, flour 16 pounds, salt 2.5 pounds, peppers 8 ounces, garlic dehydrated 8 ounces, shortening 20 pounds, 100 number 10 cans of tomatoes, thyme 20 tablespoons, bay leaves 80. Now we're getting to the vegetables. Carrots 160 pounds, celery 80 pounds, onions 24 pounds, potatoes 200 pounds, flour to thicken 20 pounds, and water 50 gallons. If that don't fill these 3 pots, then I'm going to order him some more tomatoes and we're going to fill it up.
To hear what meal got the most complaints, press play now. The loser and the winner is SOS, or stuff on a shingle.
The biggest complaint that we had was SOS, what they call minced beef on toast. The biggest request now that I have from the veterans is SOS. You give a sailor some minced beef, some hash browns, and a couple of eggs, and that's going to hold that guy down for 6 or 8 hours. And that's my objective, to feed that person and keep him fed and hold him down. Okay, I'm not worried about calories. I'm not worried about cholesterol or anything else. I want to keep this person functioning on that flight deck or wherever he's at.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the tour of the USS Midway. Again, this was just a very, very small snippet of some of the items that they talked about on the tour. If you're in San Diego, go ahead and check out the Midway. And then also, just a couple blocks away on the Harbor Drive, there's also another place where you can see some ships. It's actually 5 ships together, the Star of India. They've got a Russian submarine. They have the ship that was in the movie Master and Commander. So you can also tour those ships as well. So if you like naval history, there's a great place here to check out a lot of it. They're separate tours, but on the second tour, you actually get to see, I think, 5 different ships. You can also take an historic ship out to sea, an old kind of colonial-type ship that you can take a little tour out into the harbor here. So lots to see and lots to do. We've had a great time here in San Diego at NEC, and I'll include some of these as show notes on the blog page. So if you want to check out some more information about the USS Midway, go ahead and check out the links. Thanks for listening. This has been Eric Langlois for Speaking of History. The Speaking of History podcast is produced by Eric Langhorst in Liberty, Missouri, under a Creative Commons license. Visit the website for show notes and links to material in the podcast at www.speakingofhistory.blogspot.com. The podcast is also available on iTunes. Please email all comments and questions to speakingofhistory@gmail.com. Background music for the intro is Z from James Underberg from PodSafe Audio. Thanks for listening.